But all of these sources together did not begin to make up for the fact that the huge amount of Southern cotton that had gone into these Northern mills was cut off during the war. So the cotton textile industry hurt. The woolen industry, in contrast, doubled during the war. 2 million men are serving in the United States Army, and they're wearing woolen pants, jackets, coats, overcoats, a tremendous source of business for people in the woolen industry. The Army, again, a magnificent source of sales for people who produce woolen goods. All of this increased production of wool didn't make up for the loss in cotton production, but it certainly did help the wool manufacturers. Now, the second largest pre-war industry in the North was shoe production. Shoe production initially took a dip when war broke out because Southerners had purchased an enormous number of shoes from the North before the war. They'd bought shoes from the North and from abroad. It took the North a while to recover from this. Once again, the principal factor that allowed shoe manufacturing to thrive later in the war, government contracts. Those 2 million men also needed shoes, and they were marching around a lot and wearing shoes out. That was even better for shoe manufacturers. Huge army contracts provided a great deal of profit for the shoe manufacturers. Other industries, iron and coal, for example, experienced early war slumps, but eventually they exceeded their pre-war outputs. And military-related industries, as you might expect, absolutely boomed. Some of them went off the chart in terms of how well they did during the war. Firearms, the Springfield company, Colt, and many smaller companies did extremely well. Gunpowder, the DuPont family, added tremendously to their already substantial wealth during the war. The leather industry produced goods that all those horses and mules that pulled wagons and cannons and carried cavalrymen around for the United States Army. The leather companies sold an enormous amount to those sources in the military, as well as the leather hardware that the soldiers carried. Copper producing industry sold percussion caps by the hundreds of millions to the North. Wagon building, any industry that produced something that the Army needed in significant quantity tended to thrive during the war in the North. Now, mechanization and factories also spread during the war. Firearms and ready-made clothing were two notable examples. Again, the technology is not really new during the war, but it's applied much more widely during the war. The sewing machine, for example, was developed in the 1850s, but during the war, it was put into general use and made massive production of ready-made clothing possible. The concept of standard sizes for clothing and shoes that differentiated between right and left feet came into wide use in the war because of, once again, the need to clothe and provide shoes for 2 million men in the United States Army. Before the war, if you bought a pair of shoes or boots, they would be made specifically for you, and the same with clothing. Either a tailor would make the clothing or a bootmaker would make your boots, or you would do it at home, that you would have a relative who made the clothing, whatever. You didn't go buy something off the shelf. The Civil War marks the beginning of the time in United States history where this ready-made clothing, pre-sized clothing, was widely available and widely produced. Labor had a mixed experience during the Civil War. Quite mixed, in fact. Wages didn't keep up with inflation during the course of the war. The war saw many strikes, several of which had at least a small component of violence. Sometimes these strikes resulted in higher wages for the workers. Often they did not. It depended on the industry. There were labor shortages in some heavy industrial sectors of the economy because so many men had gone into the army. And the shortages in those specialties tended to yield better results for labor that was seeking better conditions than in parts of the industrial setup of the North where there was at least an adequate labor force. There was tremendous antagonism between deep coal miners in Pennsylvania and the owners of those mines. And the miners said that the owners had worked out a deal with the United States government where the government would work to hold the laboring part of this industry down, would always come in on the side of the mine owners, and would do so in the name of national security. How can these miners threaten to slow down production? How can these miners go against the production quotas that the mine owners have set? By doing that, they might hurt Union military forces in the field.